You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's May 22nd, 2025, and welcome to episode 134 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill video game podcast. My name is John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in just 15 minutes. Thank you very much for tuning into the show today. On this episode, I'm going to be talking about South of Midnight. But as always, we start the show by checking out some of the gaming news from the past week. Nintendo of America's president Doug Bowser spoke with IGN about the upcoming launch of the Switch 2, and in that interview he stated that he believes they'll be able to meet the demand of the hardware this year, and that they chose not to raise the price of the console even further due to the tariffs in order to keep it, quote, as obtainable as possible. You might remember that Nintendo delayed pre-orders after the tax hikes went into effect, and a lot of people thought that they might take that opportunity to raise the price to offset those losses. But Bowser explained, we really thought it was important that we established that price point even after further tariffs were announced, to give consumers that comfort that they would be able to purchase at that price. Many have also wondered if the Switch 2 would be difficult to purchase without a pre-order, if there would be a limited supply. But Bowser thinks they'll be able to avoid shortages and avoid those inevitable eBay scalpers that go along with that, predicting 15 million units sold during the fiscal year. He stated, quote, as we look at our plans here in the U.S., we do believe we'll have production and supply that will allow us to meet consumer demand. I am personally super excited to get a Switch 2. I chose, though, not to pre-order right away due to, you know, having a lot of other expenses at the moment. Did you know that it costs $1,500 to have two trees cut down? $1,500. Two trees. I do hope to get one a little bit later in the year, and when I do, I will be sure to let you know what I think. Microsoft acquired Compulsion Games back in 2018. The studio was a little bit of a question mark, I think. They had released their first game, Contrast, in 2013 to fairly mixed reception, I think. And they were just about to release We Happy Few, which had an interesting style, but didn't really set the world on fire either. It almost seemed like an investment in a studio with unrealized potential. Their first game developed fully under the Xbox umbrella, South of Midnight, was announced during Summer Game Fest in 2023, and the question became, with the support of one of the biggest game publishers in the world, could Compulsion finally deliver a game that would put them in the Premier League with other top developers? Well, I personally feel like that they have absolutely done that. South of Midnight is a game with a sense of style and a vision of storytelling that I honestly don't think I've ever seen before. You play as Hazel, a young woman living in the Deep South with her mother, Lacey. The two have a bit of a strained relationship, with Hazel feeling a bit resentful that her mother spent so much time focused on her job as a social worker. And after getting into an argument while trying to pack up before a coming hurricane, the storm washes their home downriver with Lacey still inside. Hazel then goes on a journey to find her that will introduce her to a world full of Southern folklore and reveal a magic within her that she didn't know she had. Now, I admit that I don't know much about Southern culture. I watch a lot of travel shows. I know some things on a purely surface level, but I've never been to the Southern U.S. And I found the setting of this game with its unique look and sound and stories to be absolutely fascinating. I've done some searching online after I finished the game and found out I found it really interesting to learn, you know, which things were based on real practices or real tales, like the bottle trees, which, you know, you've maybe seen in a lot of the marketing for the game. This tradition was brought over from West Africa and was used as a method of capturing troublemaking spirits, similar to how Hazel uses them to bottle up negative energy in the game. Or haints, which I had never heard of before, which are creatures that Hazel fights during the game. The word actually comes from the Gullah people, and it means haunt, and is used to describe a ghost or evil spirit. My favorite, though, are the many folk tales that Hazel experiences. Most of these are tragedies, and she uses the bottles to capture the negative energy surrounding them to try and give the characters some peace. Like Two-Toed Tom, a massive house-sized alligator who you need to get past and is based on a real legend of the same name about a giant gator in the swamps of Alabama. You've probably seen him in the, I think it was the reveal trailer for the game. Or the Rougarou, a pretty well-known legend about a creature who is part man and part beast and terrorizes the people of Louisiana. Each of these tales plays out over one or two chapters, and you'll learn about the legends through flashbacks and bits of lore that you'll discover. And I just loved every one of these stories, and they brought so much character and personality to this world. I was completely captivated the whole time. I loved it. And it honestly kind of made me want to visit the South and visit these types of areas. Although, you know, I really don't do good with humidity. So we'll see. I also have to say, Hazel is definitely one of my favorite new characters of recent years. Played perfectly by Adrienne Rey. She goes on an emotional journey to discover the truth behind her newly discovered powers as a weaver. And Rey delivers on both the difficult, you know, heartbreaking or touching moments. And she also is wonderful when she lightens things up with a funny quip, which are, you know, actually funny. Her delivery is great. The dialogue feels natural and real. And she's just a lot of fun. She's a great character. And she's got a great look, too. The entire game has an amazing style. It's got a visual look that's, I don't know, somewhere in between, you know, an animation look like an animated movie and puppetry, honestly. And it uses this stop motion style where it's kind of missing, you know, every couple of frames of animation, kind of like what they did in Spider-Verse, the Spider-Verse movies. But I actually really liked its use here, whereas in those movies, it actually kind of gave me a headache. The one weakness, I would say, in the game is definitely the combat. It's not that it's necessarily bad. You know, it feels good enough during combat. It's just kind of vanilla and repetitive, you know. Almost every fight in the game plays out the same way. You step into this walled-off round arena The enemies appear, you beat them all up, and you destroy that little source of evil, which will clear the way for the next area to explore. And it's that encounter every single time, more or less. You know, you've got a few fun abilities, like being able to possess an enemy and have them fight for you, and you'll learn a couple more as the game goes on. And, you know, they do introduce a few new enemy types over the course of the game, but it's still pretty much, you know, uninspired, I guess, is how I would say it. It's, you know, thankfully it's not a super combat heavy game, so, you know, it doesn't feel like a huge knock against it. Before this game came out, I said, you know, if it delivered gameplay that was decent, you know, if it was okay, solid, I thought the style and the storytelling would really help to elevate it up to that next level. And that's exactly what we got. You know, the combat is just okay. And, you know, the platforming is fine, but it is such a wonderful story in a setting that I found so interesting and unique that, you know, I'm really willing to overlook the parts of the game that didn't quite shine as brightly. I love the world, the characters, and the music. Oh, the music is just so good. I really hope that South of Midnight is getting the attention that it deserves, because I think it is a very special game, and it's one of my favorites of the year. So last weekend, I got up on Sunday like I normally do, about 7 a.m. or so, poured myself a coffee, played some video games for a little bit, and then went outside to mow the lawn. Filled it with gas, primed it up, pulled the string, nothing. Primed it again, pulled the string, nothing. And not in the usual, you know, ooh, it's close to starting, but not quite there way, you know, that lawnmowers sometimes do. This was nothing. And, you know, this was an older mower. I'd inherited it from my in-laws about a decade ago. The pull string had snapped at one point, and I jimmied up a fix. The tires were wobbly. The point is, like my children will eventually decide about me, it just wasn't worth trying to save anymore. So I threw a sheet over it, and I called it time of death, 9:35 a.m. Now, it sucks when something like this dies and you know that you're going to have to go and unexpectedly spend some money, but also new toy. So I did a little bit of research, and I went to a place that I've dumped more money into than my children's college fund, the Home Depot. And what I ended up getting was the Ryobi 40-volt HP 21-inch self-propelled electric mower. And I gotta say, I don't love mowing the lawn, you know? I got a crappy old back, and I don't like sweating. But this thing is slick as hell and was super easy to use. It's got two battery ports, so it can go up to 20 minutes when fully charged, which is plenty for my yard. It's lightweight. It lets you mulch, you know, bags, side eject your grass. It has a control panel with a simple, you know, push button start. No more pulling on that cord, just press start. It's got adjustable speeds, and it just cut really good. Cut to mean lawn. So this was my first mow of the year because, you know, it's been so hot. So my grass was a little on the long side. My old mower would choke up and stall whenever I'd go over thick or tall grass. But this thing, it seemed to automatically adjust its power to seamlessly go right over those spots. It would just rev up when things got thick. And with the speed up somewhere around 50 to 75%, I finished in less time than I used to take. So there you go. The Ryobi 40V electric mower gets my enthusiastic thumbs up. Yeah. Yes. A apparently this show does a lot more reviews now. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Both make a huge difference. Until next time, be well and happy gaming.